Please do be seated. Heavenly Father, would you bless the words that I speak? Would Jesus Christ be glorified and the Holy Spirit be at work in our hearts and in our minds? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, saints. Sorry I couldn't be with you for the start of this service. I've been really rather ill today, but unfortunately for you, not too ill that I can't damage your eardrums with my preaching. Well, we've been looking in our sermon series at the marks of a healthy church, and today we're looking at perhaps the mark of a healthy church which is underneath all the others, the one which supports them and keeps them in place, and that is prayer. Prayer as a mark of a healthy church. Well, as you may know, I've spent a few years back at home with my parents, helping them to sort their house out and renovate it and fix the garden up and all those kind of things. And just before Christmas, before the weather got very, very dark and cold, I was out working in the garden. I looked at my dad's shed and I saw that at the front on the gable ends, the paint was chipping away. I thought to myself, I'll have to head up a ladder and have a look at that. So I got up the ladder and I moved aside some paint with a chisel, and then chisel went all the way through. That wasn't great. Pulled it back out and it was wet. And obviously rainwater had been getting in into this shed and we hadn't noticed it, and it had rotted away all the wood at the front and it was just covered over with a thin layer of paint. Beneath that paint, beneath what we saw on the outside, was the wood that was holding up the shed as supporting beams, and also the wooden panelling on which everything that we did see was placed. And prayer is very much like that wood in that shed, except hopefully not rotten. It is the supporting structure on which our life in faith is built, and it's also the boards upon which our life of righteousness and holiness and love of the Lord, which people see, is placed and presented. And that's why prayer is so important to Paul. If you turn to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." Well, today I want to look at four things to do with prayer. I want to look at prayer itself. I want to look at being watchful, being thankful, and what is the most important thing for us as a church to be praying for. Prayer itself, being watchful in prayer, being thankful in prayer, and the most important thing for us as a church to be praying for. Well, what actually is prayer? Paul says, continue steadfastly, devotedly in prayer. And that word for prayer that he uses is a general word that means to petition, to ask, to request for something. But of course, prayer in the Bible is so much more than just handing over a ration ticket or sticking a coin in a slot machine and hoping for a win. No, it's a very, very different thing indeed. John Calvin, that great French reformer of the church, although I like to think of him as an honorary Swiss person because that's where his church was based, he said this: prayer is a form of communication between God and ourselves by which we set before him our desires, our joys, our complaints, in short, all that goes on in our hearts. This being so, every time we call upon the Lord, we should be careful to descend into the depth of our heart and to speak to him from there, and not just with the throat or tongue. Prayer is communication between God and us and God. What a privilege And I mean this, what an amazing privilege to have the ability and right to communicate with God. In the Old Testament, you may remember in the desert they built the tabernacle. And at the end of the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, was the mercy seat. There was the throne of God on earth. It was a golden ark with two cherubim angels sat upon it with their wings outstretched like this, facing each other to form a seat upon which God himself would rule and reign on earth. But no one could enter that room except once a year, after many sacrifices, the great high priest of that time could enter in and he could spray blood on the altar to sanctify it, to spray blood on the ark. But if he were to touch the ark, the throne of God, he would die. And a number of people die in the Old Testament for touching this ark, this throne of God. In fact, they used to tie a rope around the high priest's ankle so that if he spent a bit too long in there, maybe he'd touch something he shouldn't. They could pull his body out without having to enter themselves. What an almost alien thought for God to be so radically distant from his people. But of course, when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, that curtain in the temple was torn aside. And we now have access to God in the most amazing way. We can't not just touch an earthly throne, but we can reach up our hands into the highest heavens and place our hand with confidence on the very throne of heaven and pray and speak to God our Father there. What an amazing privilege to reach into heaven and speak to the Lord of all creation. So prayer is communication between God and us and us and God. And also prayer is to be honest, to be open and truthful, to be free in expressing ourselves from our hearts. All you have to do is read the book of Psalms, a book of prayers and songs of praise in the Bible, to see the psalmist truly be honest. Honest about his highs, his joys, his hopes, and honest about his lows, his depression, his fears, his worries, his despair at the darkness. Honest about the light that he sees and the pain that he sees. Or look at Jesus Christ himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, truly honest. Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me, but not my will be done, but yours. As he sweated drops of blood from the stress of his coming sacrifice. In our prayer, we are to be honest. Prayer is honest communication with God. And prayer, wonderfully, is also intimate communication with God. It's personal. It's beautiful. We are like children who run into the throne room of the King and can speak to him and pull on his robe, and he takes his time to listen to us in a way he doesn't with anybody else, because he's the King, but we are his beloved children. Prayer is communication with God that is honest and heartfelt and intimate. But it is also something which we are quite simply commanded to do. We are to be steadfast and devout in continually praying. We are to persevere in our prayer. As Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 1, we ought always to pray and not to lose heart, to keep knocking at the door, to not give up, to be single-minded in seeking God and his answer and will and relief and aid in our lives. Are you steadfast and devoted to prayer? How often do you pray alone, in your room, in secret, as Jesus commands, saying that when we pray in secret, the Father who is in secret hears our prayers and answers? How often do you pray as a family, as maybe husband and wife, or with your children or your grandparents? How often do you make family time for prayer? How often do you pray as a church community of saints here in North Ferriby? And I don't just mean here on a Sunday morning. What about during the week? There's morning prayer on a Wednesday. What about the monthly prayer meeting, which should be the beating heart of prayer and vision in this church? I don't know when the next one's on, in a few weeks. Tomorrow, there we go. Maybe this sermon will nudge a few of you towards that. We could all pray more, but let's make sure we do all we can to be steadfast in prayer. Well, John Calvin, that reformer, would go on to say this about prayer. There are two things which should really stir us to pray. First of all, God's directive which commands us to pray. And then the promise by which he assures us that we will receive what we ask. God's command to pray. And secondly, that assurance for which we give thanks, knowing that because God loves us, he answers our prayers. Well, let's look at this now again. 2 points were just made. Sorry, something's dropped off somewhere. God commands prayer and he commands thankfulness in prayer. So let's look at those two things. We've talked about prayer in general. Now let's have a look at watchfulness in prayer. Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. That means being alert, being ready, being awake in your prayer. What does that mean? Well, in the Bible, that phrase watchful means two different things that are tied together. First of all, it speaks of watching and waiting and being awake for the coming return of Jesus Christ to rule and reign on this earth, living each day in the expectant hope that Jesus will return. And then in light of his coming return, we need to look at our own lives and prepare our own lives for his return. Are we ready and watching over our prayer life, over our holiness, over how we spend our time, our Bible reading, our money, all that we are? Are we awake and watchful to ourselves and our actions? Be watchful and alert in prayer. Know yourself, your life, your needs, and don't let prayer slip. Continue steadfastly in prayer means keeping your eyes on your devotional time. And this is where that rot I mentioned at the very beginning in that shed comes into play. We should have known there was going to be rot in that shed. We hadn't painted it for a few years. It was an old shed. But we took our eyes off my dad's shed. We focused on other things, maybe good things in and of themselves. And then when it was too late almost, we found that the rot had already come. It appeared okay on the surface, but beneath it was this rot. We shouldn't have taken our eyes off the danger on that shed. And here's the truth. Christian zeal and our passion for God and our life in him usually dies first on the altar of prayer. This leads to backsliding. It leads to backsliding in morality as we excuse our sin and our shame, to backsliding in devotion as we stop praying and we stop reading our Bibles and we stop attending church as often as we should do, and backsliding in theology as we question, did God really say that this is wrong and this is what we should do and this is right and this is good? Is God really like how he reveals himself to be in Scripture? Can we really trust Scripture? So often all of that backsliding starts when we stop praying. The great Anglican evangelical bishop, J.C. Ryle, had this to say, and this is such a powerful challenge to all of us, ministers included. He said this: what is the cause of most backsliding? I believe, as a general rule, one of the chief causes is neglect of private prayer. Bibles read without prayer. Sermons heard without prayer. Marriages contracted without prayer. Journeys undertaken without prayer. Residences and homes chosen without prayer. The daily act of private prayer itself hurried over or gone through without heart. These are the downward steps by which many a Christian descends to a condition of spiritual palsy, or reaches the point where God allows him to have a tremendous fall. What a deep and challenging thing to say about prayer over all aspects of our lives. And that's why Paul says here, be watchful in your prayer, alert and awake in your prayer. And the only way to do that is to make prayer our highest priority. There's a minister called Tim Keller who ministers at Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York. And he was thankful enough that he caught himself slipping down that backsliding slope as his devotional life started to fall apart. And so he came to his wife and he said, something needs to change in our life to do with prayer. We need to take this more seriously. I want us to pray together every night from now on. No matter what happens, we will spend at least some time together in prayer. And they took that vow so seriously that when he went on missions and speaking trips in Africa or abroad in Asia, he would take a satellite telephone so that he could call his wife if there was no phone signal or phone service, and they could pray together once a day. That's devotion. And the way he persuaded them to do it is he said this: imagine if I had a heart condition and I had to take medication once a day or I would die. There's heart conditions like that. We all know of people who have to take medication or terrible things happen. And then he said, I think prayer is that medication for my spiritual heart. And if I don't pray each day, my heart will wither and it will die. Spiritually, I will die. We need to take prayer as seriously as heart medication. Surely you would remind me, you would put reminders in your diary, you would make time each day as my wife to make sure that I take my medication. And I'd do the same for you. Maybe you can find someone in your life to take that step with, to be accountable to in how you pray, to make sure you take that medication for your heart. So, continue steadfastly in prayer. Do it with great watchfulness and care. And in all of it, have a spirit of thanksgiving. Prayer is a natural response to the salvation that Christ Jesus offers us on the cross. It's our natural response to his taking our sin and shame and darkness and failings on himself on the cross and dying in our place. We should give thanks so deeply for our salvation, for his love to us. We should give thanks that he even hears our prayers, thanks that we can reach our hands into the heavenly places and place them on the throne of heaven in prayer. We should give thanks for all he's done in our life that we take for granted, the sleep we have, the houses we have, the air that we breathe, the food that we eat. I've said it again and it still strikes me when I was in Uganda and they'd ask me first thing in the morning when I was bleary-eyed and barely awake, what's God done for you today? And they meant it because they saw that we have so much to be thankful for, so much indeed. And we can give thanks for answered prayer. We pray to God, he answers our prayer, and we give thanks for that. And because he answered, we grow in confidence to pray and ask for more, and then he gives us more, and the cycle repeats itself. All of our prayers should be covered in thankfulness. Are you truly as thankful as you should be? If we were to invent a device that went upon your head and didn't look ridiculous, which read your mind and your thoughts, and there was a printout at the side that printed off all that you thought and said in your mind. If we took just your time of prayer, because let's not embarrass anyone with what else you might think in the day, just your times of prayer, what percentage of your prayer would be giving thanks to God? And what percentage would be just asking for things? If we took that readout, what would it be? You often read and hear on TV that people of my generation, but I think much more so the generation just after mine, millennials as it were, are entitled. They think they deserve everything. They deserve the newest iPad and the newest iPhone and the newest computer and universal income and jobs and all of these things. And the media says they're entitled. But if we read your prayer lives, would you come across as entitled? Or would you come across as thankful for how generous God has been in what he has given you already? So do you pray steadfastly? Are you watchful, keeping prayer a priority in your life, keeping an eye for the coming of Christ, and keeping an eye on your own devotion so that rot doesn't set in? And are you thankful in all of your prayer? Well, I want to look briefly at the rest of this passage. Paul's just said, Colossians 4 verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us. So here's Paul telling them what he wants them to ask for. Pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word. Notice it's a door for the word, not for Paul. Paul has no power to save. Paul has no power to change lives. It's the word that he proclaims that needs that open door. Pray that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. That is, all that he has wonderfully done for our salvation, on account of which I am in prison. Literally, I am in chains, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. You might think if you were in jail, you were facing a death sentence from the government, you might ask people to pray that you would be set free, that you would have an able legal defense, some great defense lawyer on your side provided to you. Paul doesn't. Instead, he prays simply, give us the opportunity to proclaim the word and make it clear. What is the most important thing that Paul wants prayer for in all the world? It's not himself. It's not world peace. It's not world, not being hungry. It's for the word of the Lord to reach all people. And then he prays, as it were, for them. telling them what they should be praying for in their own lives. Walk in wisdom with outsiders, with non-believers, making the best use of the time. Time is so precious. Someone who wastes time is the most wasteful of people. You can have two of any other thing in the world, two Ferraris, two houses, two signed copies of some famous book. You could even have two children, who knows? You could have two of anything, but you can never have the same moment in time twice, or the same opportunity in time twice. Time is the most precious thing. So Paul says, make the best use of it with outsiders. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, winsome. Let your speech be winsome. Let it be something which is full of grace and the love of Christ, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Maybe you'd come along to the Lent course to find out a bit more about that. I'll just plug that there. Paul wants them to pray above all else, all their worries, all their struggles, for evangelism, for the church to grow through the preaching of the word. Do you pray for people's lives to be changed, for doors to be opened to you and to this church, for the community in North Ferriby to know revival again? Is that high on your list of prayers? Or do your prayers start somewhere further down? So, it's a short passage, Colossians 4, 2-6. Pray steadfastly. Do it in a way which is watchful and with thanksgiving. And above all else, pray for the word of the Lord to reach those who are not saved, that they may know the privilege, the joy, the power that is prayer. So, let's pray. King Jesus, we can never thank you enough. In 10,000 years, thanks would never be sufficient for all you have done for us. We are so thankful that we can pray to you now so easily, so readily, and that you hear all of our prayers. Lord, would you help us to be a church of prayer? Help each one of us to dedicate time each day, that time which is so precious, to prayer, to coming before you and opening our hearts. Lord, would you help us to be watchful as a church, accountable to each other, making prayer a priority, that we would be a house of prayer for all nations. Lord, would you help us to be thankful, a thankful people, that people meet and they just think, wow, they have a joy and thankfulness I wish I knew. And Lord, help us as a church, as individuals, as friends and family, to focus our eyes on your word and its power to change lives. And would you open those doors, that it may be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.